Hey, good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming to learn together again this evening. So we're going to go through two shilas that came up recently. I think they are both fascinating. Hopefully you'll share that opinion, and you'll tell me which one you would like to speak about. So the first one relates to a tweet I saw from someone who I'm very friendly with from camp, but he told me not to mention him by name, even though it is a matter of public tweeting. The tweet said that, I forgot the exact wording of it, but it showed a picture of a grave, and it said, after all these years, I just discovered that I'm a Levi. And I called him up and I said, what's the story? What do you mean you just discovered that you're a Levi? And he said that he went to his, during the coronavirus, he had a lot of time on his hands, so he started to research his family history. He suspected that he might be Sephardic. He thought that maybe his great-great-grandparents had come to America from Italy. And it turns out that he found his great-great-grandfather's grave. They had come to America around 1900 from Romania. So the Sephardic thing didn't pan out. And the gravestone was entirely in English. They were very, as they say, Americanized. They had given up religion very quickly after coming to America, as many people did, obviously, in that period of time, unfortunately. And it only had his name. It didn't really say anything. And he figured, okay, there's no information there. And then, as he's turning away from his great-great-grandfather's grave, he sees a grave next to his great-great-grandfather's grave that has the same last name. The names of the deceased's parents being the same as his great-great-grandfather's deceased parents' names, and he realizes this is his great-great-grandfather's brother, who's buried right next to him. Now, this tombstone had lots of Hebrew writing. It was entirely in Hebrew, and it had imagery of, it had psukim on it, and it had a picture of a washing cup on the top of the grave, and by the name it said Halevi. It said his last name, and it said Halevi. So he realized, well, wait a second, if my great-great-grandfather's brother is a Levi, then it must be that my great-great-grandfather is a Levi. It's no wonder that I never learned about it, because they gave up religion. They weren't, wasn't Nogea. They weren't taking the second Aliyah anyway in Shul. So he discovered that he's a Levi. He's still not 100% sure. Like, he doesn't know for sure that they're brothers. He thinks that they're brothers, but, they're buried right next to each other, same last name, same parents' names, but, immigrants did all sorts of funny things with names. We don't really know what our names are. We often find that there's a lot of confusion about that, but he's pretty sure that they're brothers. So his shaila was, should he start taking the second aliyah? Should he start acting like a Levi? Now, this shaila is even more impactful or complicated when it comes to kahuna, and it comes up all the time when it comes to kahuna. Someone goes to a cemetery, to Kivrei Avos, and they see hands on the kever. So what does that indicate? If they see hands on the kever, that's usually an indication of Birchas Kohanim, or someone has the last name Kohen. So does that mean, is that enough to let you know that the person is a Kohen, is a Kohen? So that is Shaila number one. Shaila number two, as everyone is aware, in the United States in recent weeks, there have been many, many demonstrations ever since the killing of George Floyd, and some of the demonstrations have unfortunately turned into riots and looting and all sorts of terrible things. But one thing that it has certainly sparked in across all segments of the population in the United States are many discussions about relationships between the African-American community and other communities of faith and different races and cultures and the overall American community. And pretty much in every household, that discussion is coming up in one form or another. So a guy told me that he was having a conversation with his family, and his mother said, Yeah, I'm a racist. I'm absolutely a racist, with no shame whatsoever. Why shouldn't I be a racist? And then started spewing like every sort of racist, comment that one could possibly have. So the fellow was very taken aback by this. So he started arguing. What do you mean? That's morally reprehensible. How could you? A Jew should know better than anybody else. And started arguing with his mother. And then it occurred to him afterwards that there is a halacha that one is not allowed to argue with a parent. So does the halacha govern such a case? And what are the limits of such a halacha that you're not allowed to argue with a parent? What if a parent is totally wrong? Are you not allowed to say something that's to correct them when they're totally wrong? What if it's not going to help? So what's the appropriate thing? What's the appropriate thing to do in that situation? What are the limits of that particular halacha about arguing with a parent? So again, I'm going to ask you if you could use the chat feature over here to vote on which of the shailas you would like to discuss, and then we'll tally up the votes and we'll see which one we're going to discuss this evening. So let's see what the votes are so far. So far it looks like number two is in the lead. Noah Rappaport says we should do both. Okay. 2, 3, 4, 5. So it's a 5-2 vote. That's it. Only eight votes. 5-2-1. Okay. So, I guess everyone else is just relying on that. So I'll assume a silent vote is a vote for two because you see that that's what's in the lead and that's what you're sticking with. Okay. So that's what we'll do. Okay. A couple more coming in. Okay. Very good. So that's what we'll do. I guess we'll discuss Shaila number two. So Shaila number two, again, is a very fundamental halacha in Hilchos Kibud Av Eim, right? To what extent does a person have an obligation? Does a person have an obligation to, or an isser rather, I should say, of arguing with a parent, to dafka not argue with a parent, because after all, that may be part of the mitzvah of Kibud Av Eim. So let's, the major sugyas of Kibud Av Eim appear in Meseches Kiddushin. So the Gemara Meseches Kiddushin, on Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis tells us that Tanur Rabbanan Ezu Mora veEzu Kibud, that there is both a mitzvah of Mora Aveim and a mitzvah of Kibud Aveim. What is the definition of each one? So the Braisa tells us Mora lo omed bimakomo velo yoshev bimakomo. Mora means do not stand in his place, do not sit in his place. Velo soser es divarav, and you cannot contradict his words. Velo machrio, and you're not allowed to be machriya his words. What does that mean? Says Rashi, im haya aviv v'chacham acher chalukin b'dvar halacha lo yomar nir in divrei ploni, that if your father and some other chacham are arguing about a dvar halacha, you're not allowed to say that I think so-and-so is correct. Not abundantly clear from Rashi if that means dafka to say the other guy is correct, or if that means to say anybody, even if you're siding with your father. That too is a discussion in the Rishonim. Maybe even to back up your father and say, I think my father's right. Maybe even that's a problem because it's above your level to get involved in a machlokes that involves your father and somebody else. So that's lo machrio. But before that is lo soser es devarav, that you're not allowed to be soser the words of one's parents. So the first question is, what are the limits? Like, where does this apply? Does this apply dafka to divrei Torah, or is this talking about in everything? So the Rashi, when he spoke about lo machrio, is very clear that it's about divrei Torah, because Rashi writes that haya aviv v'chacham acher chalukin b'dvar halacha, that they're arguing about a dvar halacha. So he doesn't say that they're arguing about stam, you know, what their favorite flavor of ice cream is. No, they're arguing about a dvar halacha. So it could be that Rashi's understanding that the entirety of the Braisa, lo yistar stavarav, is also when it comes to a dvar halacha. In fact, that's the sheet of the Be'er Sheva as well. The Be'er Sheva understands that that's what Rashi must mean, that it's dafka about a dvar halacha, and it's not about anything else. There's a Be'er Sheva in Masechah Sanhedrin in Perek Chelek, where the Be'er Sheva makes such a comment. Now, Tosus Ri Hazaken writes, Soser, when he explains what Soser is, Tosus Ri Hazaken appears on the side of the Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin, and he writes that lo soser means that the words are so tiny, that lo soser, I'm also getting old, that lo soser means soser cholek alav. not to disagree with him. He doesn't say bidvar halacha, he doesn't say bidvar Torah, he just says cholik lav. So it sounds like it's even with regular things, even with divrei chulin, even with mundane matters that you're not allowed to disagree with a parent. The big kasha is, you're really not allowed to disagree with the parent? No one told the Tanaim that, no one told the Amoraim that, no one told the Rishonim that, because that happens all the time in rabbinic literature, that you have two great rabbis, one's a father, one's a son, and they're always arguing with each other. So is it really true, bedivrei Torah, that you're not allowed to argue with each other? Meaning it seems to be that the Rishonim assume at the very least bedivrei Torah, but maybe even also in divrei chulin. But no one seems to say not divrei Torah, that this doesn't apply to divrei Torah, that divrei Torah is an exception to the rule. So that requires a little bit of explanation, because we know that the way divrei Torah work is it lends itself to machlokas. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Kiddushin on Daf Lamed Amid Beis, the Gemara tells us, where is it? Ki yedabru es oivim b'shar. May es oivim b'shar. What does it mean that there are enemies in the gate? So Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, afilu ha'avu b'no, ha'ravu v'talmido, she'oskin b'torah b'shar echad. Even if you have a father and a son, you have a Rebbe and a Talmud that are engaged in Torah in the same area, nasim oivim zelazah, they become enemies to each other. And then the Gemara goes on to tell us, but they don't finish the learning until they become ohavim again, until they become they love each other again. So it starts out as oivim. Let me just get the exact lashon of the Gemara. It starts out that they appear to be like enemies, and then by the time they finish learning, they are once again ohavim. They are once again ohavim zebaze. Nasim ohavim zeze, ve'inam zaz misham, achinasim ohavim zeze. Shinemar, es vehev besufa, altikri besufa, el besofa. That besofa shaldavar, in the end of the discussion, they're already going to love each other again. But up until then, they're fighting and they're arguing. Rav Shachter often tells the story, and we repeat it all the time, of the memoir that was written by a fellow who was on the same train as the Mir Yeshiva when they were escaping to Shanghai. And the fellow was a non-Jewish fellow, and you can imagine, it must have been quite an experience, you know, to be on the same train as the Mir Yeshiva and to see the way that they behave and the way that they carry themselves and how they go about their day. You should realize the Bachrim and the Mir Yeshiva at that time were not regular people. I mean, they were all good. They all turned out to be Gedolei Olam. It was an incredible group of people. So this fellow writes in his memoirs that he saw that what they would do is they would take out these gigantic books. They would take out these huge, huge books, and they would open up these huge books, and they would start yelling at each other. They hated each other. They would scream and yell at each other. And then they put the books away, and they were best of friends. As soon as the books, it's as if the books were like, you know, a script of a scene in a play about fighting. So they would open up the book, they would read the script about fighting, and then they would close the book, and then the scene was over, and then they would just go out for drinks afterwards. I mean, as if, you know, as if it was all fine. So that's exactly the experience the Gemara is describing. But how did the Gemara say it? Afilu avubno, afilu ravitalmido. So you see very clearly that it even applies to a father and a child, even applies to a Rebbe and a Talmud. In fact, the Trumas Hadeshen has a tshuva, and in Siman Reish Lamed Ches, in the Pesukim of the Trumas Hadeshen, he writes, you know, ki haisa darka shel Torah miyamei atanayim. This was always the darka shel Torah. Rabbeinu HaKadosh chalak bekama mekomos al aviv al rabu, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbeinu HaKadosh was the son of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Talmud of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And he always argued Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Bamoraim Rava hayachalik bekama duchti al rabba shahaya rabo. Rava was a Talmud of Rabba, argues with him all the time. The Begaonim, Ashiri, Cholik Bekama Duchtin, Amaharam, Shai Rabba Mufak. The Gos Ashri was a Talmud of the Maharam, argue all the time. He doesn't mention it, but the Tor usually agrees with the Rush, but not always, every once in a while, the Tor will disagree with Adoni Avi Arash. So even though on every single page in the Tor you have those words, Adoni Avi Arash, so he speaks with such reverence and such honor, and he's always quoting him, but he also argues with him sometimes. Sometimes I think there's one place, Dafka, where he argues with him, but he doesn't quote the Shita of the Rush. He quotes someone who agrees with the Rush by name without quoting the Rush. And then he argues on the one who agrees with the Rush. Meaning, so he avoids the direct confrontation. You know, and he did that Dafka on purpose, obviously, in order to avoid having to argue. But you do find that such a thing all the time. So the question begs itself, if it's true that you're not allowed to argue with a parent, how come you're allowed to argue in all these Tanayim, Amorayim, and Rishonim are allowed to argue? Meaning, essentially what we're saying is, there have to be exceptions. We just have to define what the exception is. So you're enticed to say, oh, the exception must be in Divrei Torah. But remember, we saw Rashi was explicit in the Gemara that Bidvar Halacha, you're not allowed to argue. And the whole Machlokes Rishonim is the whole Isser only Bidvar Halacha or also Bidvar Macherim. But everyone seems to agree that the Isser is at least Bidvar Halacha. So if there's an Isser Bidvar Halacha, and yet you find that they do it all the time, so what is the exception? What is the reason? What's the excuse that allows them to do it? The other relevant sugya is a Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph that discusses a case where a parent is doing something objectively wrong, where a parent is being over al divrei Torah, where they're violating the Torah itself. So the Gemara tells us over there. D'tanya hare shaya aviv over al divrei Torah al yomer lo abba avart al divrei Torah. Hello, Marlo, Abba, Kach Kasuv Batorah. Kach Kasuv Batorah, Tzurika Mitzarele. Says, Mar, wait, if you say that, you're going to be Mitzar him. Hello, Marlo, Abba, Mikra Kasuv Batorah Kach. You should say such a lashon. It's a big discussion. They've shown him exactly what the Gemara is trying to express over here. How to say it? Mikra batara, you know, kasu batara kach. Tosvi Arzakin quotes from the Rabbeinu Chananel and the Ram that say you should say it as if you're asking a question. Abba, isn't there a pasuk that says Lo Sir Tzach? Are you sure you should be murdering that person? You know, something like that, right? You should say it as a question instead of saying it. Rasha, stop doing that! You're violating the Divrei Torah. So you have to say it in a respectful way. Probably, if he's murdering someone, you could be a little more forceful than that. But I just use that as an example. But you're supposed to say Abba Mikra Abba Kasuv Torah Kach V'Kach. It says such and such in the Torah. And the Gemara over there says, when father says Divrei Torah b'ta'us, you're not allowed to say al tomar kach. You're not allowed to say that to your father. Don't say like that. And the Gemara tells us Rabbi Yecheskel and his son Rabbi Yehuda had such a story. That, right? The Gemara says, Masli Rabbi Yecheskel Rami Berei Hanisrav Miniskalim Rabbi Shimon Omer Yadonu B'skila Shasrei V'chamura Amar Le Rabbi Yehuda Berei Abba lotisnia hachi. So don't say it this way. So the Gemara questions that. How can you say that? We're left with a problem over here. There's got to be an exception. We don't know what the exception is. So as far as the halacha of not being soser as devarav, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Reish Mem, and Hilchos Kibud Av Eim, so the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Reish Mem, Siv Bey, Shulchan Aruch writes, lo soser as devarav, lo machrias devarav, and then he adds one word, bifanav. That you're not allowed to be soser or machrias devarav, bifanav. Bifanav. So the Taz in Sivkat and Gimel is medayik from that all of these Isurim are only Bifnei Aviv. And that's what the Bir Agra writes in the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch as well. That we shechalukin al aviyam v'rabam Rebbe and Rav Shimon Liel v'harbe keyotze v'chein machriyin. He says that on the word Bifanav. That on the word Bifanav says the Bir Agra. Yeah, that's why Rebbe argues it all the time in Rav Shimon Liel. What? How does that answer the question? When Rebbe argued, Rav Shimon Gamliel wasn't around. He wasn't Bifanav anymore. So if it's not Bifanav, then there's not going to be an Isser. And that's how they suggest to answer. However, this is not agreed upon by everybody, because the Shach writes over there in Sifkat and Beis, V'lo Soser Estevarav, Bein Shecholik Alav, Bein Sha'omer Lahacholik Alav Nirin Dvarecha. That's also interesting. The Shach says, not only are you not allowed to argue with the parents, if someone else is having an argument with your parent, you're not allowed to go over to that other person afterwards and say, by the way, you were totally right. I wasn't allowed to say anything, but you were totally right. Not allowed to do that, says the Shach. Havi Soser Zor. Venira, the Soser Dvarav, says the Shach, Asur Afshalo Bifanav. even when it's not bifnei aviv, you're not allowed to argue on your parents. So there's a possible exception over here of shelo bifanav, but not everyone agrees. The shach thinks that that is not an exception. So that means that the shach is going to have to come up with another answer as to why all these tanoim and amoraim were allowed to argue with their parents. So the Prisha has an interesting suggestion. Unclear, you'll tell me what you think. Says the Prisha, in the bottom of the Torah, in Simon Reish Memon, Os Gimel, Nira dahainu dafka kisha omer kain bili raya muchrachas. Aval kisha yesh lo raya muchrachas. Az einu machria el adin Torah machria. Umishamachim matzinu shrabenu hisi kamapam madivrei harosh aviv v'gam b'shar gedol matzinu kain. Says the Prisha that you know when you're not allowed to argue with your parent? When you're not 100% sure that you're right. But if you are right, and dafki song in divrei Torah, and you have rayos that you're right, you're not the one that's being so serious to Varav. The truth is being so serious to Varav. It's not you that's doing it. It's the objective truth that's doing it. They're saying something that is objectively false. Look, if it's a matter of opinion, they say vanilla ice cream is the best. And you say no, you get very agitated. No, that's wrong. Chocolate ice cream is the best. So they're not wrong. In fact, you're wrong. But that's a matter of opinion. So different people could assume different things. But when it comes to something that when it comes to something that you have rayas, you could say, okay, I got clear rayas in a matter of halacha. So there's Torah Semes that you have to stand up for. So the Prisha says, in such a case, when there are rayos gemuros, you're allowed to argue. And Trumas Sedeshin writes this way as well. And they say that's why all the Tanaim and Amoraim were allowed to argue on their Rebbeim and on their parents, and that's the exception that we go with. Another possibility, the Pisrei Tshuva on the Shulchan Aruch over there, on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch says, quotes Kiddushin Daf Lamed, Shekasav da ben ima'av yichol lahakshos uletareitz ulahasik maskonas ha'alocha ve'in bazeh mishum soser estivarev. There's a difference between arguing and discussing. He says, if you're saying you're wrong, I argue, I say different, so that you're not allowed to do. But to engage in lively conversation, to ask questions, to challenge, that you're allowed to do. You can challenge, you can ask, but you can't argue. It's a very thin line, right? It's a very delicate balance. But that's what the Pesachim Tshuva says, and he says, and that's the whole point. That's afilu avu bno, ravu talmido, that's some oivim zelazeh. An oyev challenges you. He doesn't always defeat you, but he challenges you. And maybe he challenges you so much that you change your mind. And that's okay. That's, what family, what healthy family that has normal conversation never has any, everyone is stifled. No one is allowed to express an opinion. No one is allowed to say anything. No, you're allowed to express and you're allowed to ask questions and you're allowed to challenge. You just can't argue. You just can't argue. That's what the Pisrei Tshuva suggests, that they become oivim ze'ezeh. That's perfectly fine. Derech pilpul and derech limud is perfectly fine. Another point is that dafka, when it comes to divrei Torah, maybe you have a mitzvah to do that. You have a mitzvah to dafka challenge when it comes to divrei Torah. If I recall, the Aruch HaShulchan says that yesh l'stapek b'mili d'alma. He says, I don't know. When it comes to mili d'alma, I'm not sure if this whole thing applies. Im rashai listor devaru v'lachria. He says, v'lai dafka b'torah have a heder hakavod. He says, the Aruch HaShulchan, goes in the other direction. He says, wait a second. Maybe this whole Isser is only about Divrei Torah. Because you know why? Divrei Torah matters. But Mili D'Alma, who cares? So you disagree with them. But it's not Dvarim Omdim Bruma Shalolam. The only thing that's Dvarim, no matter how passionate you are about being a Republican or a Democrat or whatever it is that families argue about, or being a Yankees fan or a Red Sox fan, no matter how passionate you are, at the end of the day, you realize that that's Mili D'Alma. That's, that's Divrei Chulin. Those are not things that really matter. What matters? Dvarim Omdim Bruma Shalolam. Torah matters. Torah really matters. So he says, maybe you're allowed to be so sedvarav when it comes to mili d'alma. He says, v'ulai dafka b'torah have a hedra covered v'lo mili d'alma. Oli hipuch, or maybe it's the opposite. The kivan da afilu b'divrei Torah aser, kol shekein mili d'alma. Whoa, the Aruch HaShulchan says, or maybe not. Maybe if we see that it's asur even in Divrei Torah, then for sure you're not allowed to argue Mili D'Alma. What's the Svara? Same Svara, but used in the reverse. Divrei Torah matters. Divrei Torah is finding the truth. That's worth standing up for. It's worth standing up for Torah's MS. But you're going to make a fight over chocolate and vanilla ice cream. You're going to make a fight over, I'm not using that as, I just realized that I started by saying it was about racism. I'm not using chocolate and vanilla. I'm just trying to pick something meaningless. That is no, that's an unfortunate coincidence that I chose, you know, whatever, brown and white ice cream. Okay, that was not what I meant. But you're going to make a fight about strawberry and, I can't think of another flavor, about strawberry and what's the green one? The green ice cream? What's it called? Pistachio. Yeah, you're going to make a fight about strawberry and pistachio ice cream? You know, that's ridiculous. Why would you make a fight about something stupid like that? So says the Aruch HaShulchan, maybe it's dafka by Divrei Torah that you have, not dafka, it's even by Divrei Torah, where of course you got to stand up for the MS. And he says, V'cheinir ikar v'dor v'pashru, shim aviv omer lo ritzoni l'shmoa de'ascha, Echu tzarich sheyom lo kfir nira lo. Oh, then he says, "Hein b'divrei Torah, hein b'mil d'alma." Then he says, "But I could be mechriya the following exception. Maybe there's an exception that we haven't discussed yet." Says Yaruch Hashulchan, and that is, if your parent asks for your opinion, if he wants your opinion. So if he wants your opinion, and he says, "Look, I would like for you to weigh in on this," then you are allowed to weigh in on this. You may be mechuyev to weigh in on it, because that's exactly what the parent is looking for. And that is likely what goes on with all of the Tanaim and Amoraim, that all the Tanaim and Amoraim wanted their children to give their opinion. They were interested in the children giving their opinion. This comes up a lot of times. You know, there are a lot of families that have what's called a family business. Right? So the children go into the father's business. So sometimes the children have new ideas about how to implement new things in the business. You know, the business should have a social media presence. And the father's like, what's social media? And the child's like, oh no, you have to know this is going to be, this is the only way to connect to the next generation. Well, the father's like, nah, we'll just call everybody up on the phone and we'll ask them what they want to order. What do you mean? Why do we have to? And the child's like, no, it doesn't work that way. No one answers their phone. It's not the... So the child's not going to say. The father wants him to say. He wants him to express an opinion in order to, if they're going to work together, that's going to need to happen. So that too is a potential exception. Now, Rabbi Kiveger, the Rabbi Kiveger quotes a comment of the Be'er Sheva based on what the Tanaim arguing with their fathers that Kachi Darka Shel Torah. He says maybe it's Ach V'Rak. L'divrei chulin that there's an iser. Maybe the whole iser is only by divrei chulin, and there is no iser by divrei Torah. Meaning, dafka the opposite of what Rashi said, that the whole iser is only by divrei chulin. That's what we saw. The Aruch HaShulchan raised that possibility. Problem is, there's no rishon that backs up that possibility. All the rishonim seem to say that it might be only divrei Torah, or it might be even divrei chulin. But it's hard to find rishonim that say the opposite, that it's only by divrei chulin. There's also a discussion in Poskim. There's a Tshuvas Rabbi Kiva Eger that discusses what if the parent is already deceased. So if the parent is already deceased, is it a violation of Soser Estevarev not to follow their instructions before they die? So Rabbi Kiva Eger writes that Stiris Dereyav if you don't have. Why? Because let's go through what were our exceptions or potential exceptions. The very first one is the Taz says that the whole Isser is only Befanav. After they're dead, they're no longer Befanav. So if they're no longer alive, it's no longer a violation of Stiras Divrei Aviv to go against their tzavar. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, you don't win Son of the Year award, though, if you go against the direct tzavar of a parent after they die. That certainly would not be good, but it's not a violation of this particular halacha. Because it could be mitzvah, there's a separate in mitzvah l'kayim divrei emes. Okay, so let's go back to our discussion. So is it permissible or wise to get involved in or to voice disagreement over something like this, over something, you know, a hot button issue such as race relations or something like that people argue about? So probably it would depend on the relationship between between the parent and the child. Meaning, if the relationship is such is that the parent always wants to be right and is not really interested in anyone else's opinion, so then the child probably should not express an opinion, right? But if the parent, the way the household runs is like a family business kind of situation, or like where the parent is always interested in sharpening the children and having this kind of conversation and being open and wanting everyone to be able to express themselves openly, and that's the way the parent wants the conversation to run, so then l'chora it would be mutter. But even then, one would have to tread carefully, right? One would have to do so with great care. What the parent is saying in the child's view is morally reprehensible. It's morally bankrupt. Okay, so the parent doesn't, and the child has a mitzvah. Part of the mitzvah of Kibbutz Aveim is to view their parents as if they are gedolei olam, as if they are gedolei olam. That is, the Chachma Sadam writes that the chiv of Kibbutz Aveim is bedibur, b'machshava, and b'maisa. So b'maisa we know, you give them to drink, you take care of them. Bedibur, you speak reverentially to them, even b'machshava. The Chachma Sadam writes, how do you do it b'machshava? By viewing your parents as gedolei olam, and that's even if the whole rest of the world seems to think that they're not in on that secret, that your parents are gedolei olam. The whole rest of the world seems to think your parents are regular to subpar people. You still have to view your parents as gedolei olam, right? That's still, that's part of the mitzvah, to actually believe that one's parents are gedolei olam. So then you have to learn that people are complicated people, and even if you find that particular view morally reprehensible, you don't have to change your view. You don't have to change your view, but the way you have to assess your parents is not by that one view. Meaning, in general, whenever you assess people, it's never a good idea to assess people by one particular characteristic. Very often, I'll get a phone call from a Talmud. I just had one today, but it happens all the time. I'll get a phone call from a Talmud. It'll say, someone in Shiduchim, things are going well with this girl, but there's this thing. She went to this seminary, or she wears this kind of clothing, or whatever it is. Something. So does that passel? Does that passel? So I always say the same thing. I always say the same line, and it seems to work, because a few of the guys have told me later, that was good advice. So I stick with it every time. So and that line is that people are complicated. People are multifaceted. People have so many different elements to them. To judge a person by one thing, by what school they went to, what they whatever, which friend they hang out with, to judge by one thing, you're missing the boat. Meaning, a person is so, there are thousands of dimensions to a person. A human being is the most complicated creature on the planet. It's more complicated than the most sophisticated machinery that exists on the planet. So the human brain, the human psyche, the human emotion, you have to judge in total. You can't judge on one thing. So I would argue that perhaps the same is true when it comes to a parent. You may find a particular thing that they do to be terrible, a particular thing that they think, but you still have to think of them as gedolei olam. So you need to learn to emphasize other characteristics and de-emphasize those characteristics that you find to be wrong or to be inappropriate. So I would think that would be the halacha in this case. As far as the other shayla, since we're running out of time over here, as far as the other shayla, we ran out of time already, thank you for staying over time. As far as the other shayla, the Kohen, the Levi, so this fellow told me, he said, thank God it's Corona, not thank God, but he said, because of the Corona, because of the quarantining and everything, he said he hasn't had a chance to get an Aliyah as a Levi yet, and he's trying to just get a little bit more 100% clarification that he is in fact a Levi, but his rabbi brought the Shaila to both Morena Rav Shechter and Morena Rav Willig, and they both said he's a Levi. They both said that he should now act as a Levi. So he found out later in life that he's a Levi. This happens all the times with Kohanim. I got a Shaila earlier this year. Someone asked me, he wanted a fellow who's a Kohen, wanted to put on his mother's tombstone, he wanted to put hands on the mother's tombstone, because he felt that it would indicate that he is blessing his mother, that as if ki'ilu, he's giving a birchas kohanim to his mother. Now that is highly unusual, right? The hands on the tombstone always indicates a Kohen, so you wouldn't do it for a woman, you'd only do it for a man. So is that which people decide to put on a tombstone always absolute proof? maybe that will be a topic for a 10-minute halacha shir for next week. We don't have time to get into it tonight. But everyone should have a wonderful night. Thank you for coming and learning with me this evening.